You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The two-pot system in South Africa has recently been rolled out, but there still seems to me to be a little bit of misinformation and confusion surrounding it. With me to dispel those is Jaco van Tonder, Advisor Services Director at 91 in Cape Town. Briefly, if you would, Jaco, the background to this and what it is, how it works, please.
Hi, Lindsay. It's two-pot represents arguably the biggest change to our pension fund system in South Africa in the last 20 to 30 years. It's a significant milestone. And really, to sum up the objectives of what two-pot is all about, it's really about achieving two things. The first thing you want to achieve is you want to allow people some access to their retirement fund savings if they have an emergency of a financial nature, but they don't actually lose their jobs. And we saw this as a really good example of this was during COVID, when people had their incomes reduced, but they didn't actually lose their jobs. They just didn't have money to buy food, and they couldn't use their pension fund to help them overcome that financial obstacle. So that's the first objective, is how do we manufacture a system that can give people some emergency access, as opposed to our current system that gives nothing. The second key objective is that actually our pension fund system is a little bit schizophrenic. So whereas on the one hand, it doesn't allow you access when you have a real genuine financial need, there are other times when it gives you full access to your retirement assets, even if you don't need it. And a good example of this is when you're just changing jobs. You're resigning from one employer, you're shifting to another employer, and then all of a sudden you can cash in your entire retirement pot 100%. Now, both of those outcomes have never made sense, and we've always known that we need to do something about fixing them. The only thing that's changed now is I think that post-COVID is now the political change. And so, voila, we have the two-pot system with the objective of solving those two challenges.
Very good and well explained. Thank you. You used the word emergency, and I think accessing funds from the savings pot, this is the theory anyway, should be the last resort. I mean, a COVID example is a very good one. But if there's some unforeseen expense or you lose a job or whatever it is, the fact is that sometimes people need money, but it must be a last resort, I think, Jaco. That's your advice anyway.
So, I mean, I think your advice will vary depending on the person that you're speaking to. Because remember, the membership base of South African retirement funds constitutes a wide range of people. I mean, you've got from your lowest paid employees working in large union funds, all the way up to people who own their own businesses and who are successful professionals. They're all members of retirement funds. And so to design one system that works for everybody is very, very tricky. So for people who are on the lower earnings levels, they are the people for whom the system was fundamentally designed. Because if you think about people who are paid on the lowest salary bracket, they typically do not have a cash reserve somewhere. They often don't have access to financial advisors, and therefore their financial habits and their budgets are often stretched, and there's very little cash reserve if something goes wrong. So for those people, the savings pot withdrawals represent a great opportunity to deal with those cash emergencies, but I think you're 100% right. The emphasis is on cash emergencies. So the last thing that you want to see is for people at any level of income to be withdrawing their savings pot every year and spending the money on the December holiday or fixing something in the kitchen or redoing a bathroom at your house. That's not what the savings pot is there for. It should be there for a genuine emergency, whether it be an unexpected death in the family or unexpected expenses relating to the education of your kids. Those types of really big ticket events that come along in people's lives that they didn't really budget for, couldn't really budget for, and then the two-pot savings account withdrawal is a great way to deal with those. So you're very right that on the one hand, in future, fund members will have to balance the importance of the need that they've got versus, of course, the importance of retiring one day with a big enough pension pot to have a decent retirement. And it's always that short-term versus the long-term trade-off that I think will be an ongoing feature of the two-part system in people's lives.
Exactly. That retirement point you just made is so key, because South Africa has a terrible record when it comes to savings in certain sectors of the population. You say in a point you kindly sent me, ensure money grows in all three pots. Now, we've been talking about two pots. Suddenly there's a third pot, and that's to do with vested. Tell us about that, please.
So South Africa has got a very sensible way of making big changes to our financial services regulations, and our pension fund regulations are no exception. So because of the massive change that the two-pot system brings to changes to people's right to access and taxation and all sorts of liquidity benefits, the two-pot system changes all of that. And so in order to not negatively affect people who are already in the retirement fund system. I mean, we know that our retirement fund members have a habit of getting scared if there are big regulatory reform projects coming. And then some people, we've had this in the past happen where there's scaremongering, and then people resign from their jobs so that they can cash in their pension funds because they are worried that the next government regulatory change is going to make some have some big impact on their pension funds, and they want to avoid it altogether. So the vested pot concept exists to deal with that fear. And what the vested pot concept basically says is it doesn't matter what the new system says and what the rules are going to be about the new system. What we are going to do is we are going to freeze your old pension fund assets as they looked on 31 August, which was, what, a couple of weeks back. We're going to take those old assets and we're going to freeze them in time, and your assets will remain subjected to the old pension fund system. So in effect, what's happening with the vested pot, it's your old assets that you had on 31 August. And so the rights and the liquidity benefits that you received and the lump sum opportunities at retirement, all of those old rights effectively preserved in the vested pot. And that way people will in future really sit with assets that come from before two pot, and they will sit with assets that come and that were from contributions after two pot. And those two sets of assets will be treated differently at major life events like retirement or death or immigration. And that's actually where the financial advisor community, I think, are still trying to get their heads around these complexities, because it makes the world of financial advice quite a lot more complicated. That's the concept of the vested assets. But the vested assets play an important role in that it protects people's old rights. And it's critical for the success of the system that people don't get scared and then suddenly they withdraw their retirement fund assets. I mean, that's an outcome that you don't want to happen at all.
Okay, let's go from three pots to a three-letter word, and that's tax. Tax implications must be in place for people that avail themselves of the early withdrawal facility.
Yes, and that is exactly what happens. I mean, people often forget that when you make a contribution to a retirement vehicle, you are getting a tax deduction at the point where the money goes into the fund. So in order to obviously equalize you that when you take money out of the fund, you obviously need to also pay the tax that you received as a benefit when you put money into the fund. So that's the concept behind the taxation of the savings account withdrawals. So this is exactly what will happen if you submit a request to your pension fund administrator as a fund member to say that you would like to withdraw your savings component and have it paid into your bank account. That retirement fund administrator will ping SARS, and they will send in a request to SARS for what we call a tax directive. And SARS will look at that individual retirement fund member's income tax situation and records, and they will work out an amount of tax that should be deducted from the withdrawal. So let's say you submit the withdrawal for 30,000 Rand from your savings account. SARS will come back and say that 10,000 Rand's worth of tax needs to be deducted. The pension fund administrator will deduct the tax, and they will pay the other 20,000 out to the fund member, and they'll pay the 10,000 in tax across to SARS. And the important thing to remember is the level of the tax is obviously dependent on the marginal income tax, which is linked to how much income you earn. So the system actually self-corrects very nicely. So people on higher tax brackets who get really big tax deductions on RA contributions and retirement fund contributions they will pay big penalties if they withdraw, whereas people on lower salary brackets will be paying less tax. So the system is definitely, from a savings and emergency savings perspective, probably much better geared to the lower earning members of retirement funds than to the top earnings. And I think that is probably the right outcome as well.
Here's a bit of a curveball because, again, you kindly sent me this bullet point. Alternative is to set up an emerging fund to cover unforeseen expenses. How does that work?
Well, I think it comes back to the value of financial planning. So, I mean, financial planning is all around making sure that you've got the major risk events in your life covered. And so if someone's financial affairs are being looked after by a qualified advisor, typically the people will have life cover to protect against, you know, unexpected death of the breadwinner. There will be, cover against people becoming disabled or unable to work. And then there will be retirement fund investments. And then there will be some assets that would be stashed away somewhere in a money market fund or in some low-risk investment at an investment manager, which is typically between 3 and 6 months core expenses. And that amount is what we refer to as your emergency reserve. So a well-designed financial plan should include all of the above components, including that emergency cash reserve of between 3 and 6 months earnings or expenses. And that really is there as a buffer to deal with unexpected costs like driving through a pothole and losing two of your car's tires, or having an unexpected mechanical issue with your vehicle and needing to have it replaced. Those types of events that you often don't have insurance for, that is why you need that emergency savings that's in a money market fund somewhere. And quite often it's exactly that emergency savings which lower paid workers often do not have. And I think that's where the two-pot system is going to kick in to help those lower paid workers especially deal with these types of unexpected expenses.
I did say emerging fund, I meant emergency fund, of course, and you've described it well as usual. Right, the final question is one I've been looking forward to because there are all sorts of, as I said in my introduction, pieces of misinformation about what's going to happen. There's tens of billions that can be withdrawn from all the savings pots and people are going to raid those savings pots and therefore that has implications for the JSE Securities Exchange and the market could fall sharply. Hasn't happened. What has been the experience so far after a couple of weeks at 91?
So 91, I don't think is a good proxy for what the industry experience is going to be because whilst we've got over 50,000 retirement fund members, our retirement fund members are almost all advised and they are from the kind of higher salary and earnings brackets.
Yes.
So our personal experience had been that we've had very low levels of requests and withdrawals. I think up to the 11th of September, we last count had something like 250 withdrawal submissions, which is really, really small in the context of 50,000 retirement fund members. The place that you want to watch would be the larger pension fund administrators who have a much broader cut of the workforce in South Africa, including some of the lower paid pension funds where people earn lower incomes all the way through to the top ones. So I would think that some of the firms like the large life insurance companies, plus Alexander Forbes, watching them will give people a better indication of what the overall industry impact is. And on that front, it definitely appears to be that there's a huge wave of people who are inquiring at the moment.
Yes.
From retirement funds, exactly how much their savings pots are worth, how much was the seeding amount, how much can they withdraw, what is the likely tax. So we at that stage at the moment where I think the large pension fund administrators are struggling to deal with the client queries. Obviously, a big proportion of those client queries will eventually convert into withdrawal instructions. We've seen quite a sharp spike from some of the providers being reported, but I think the wave is still building. The estimates that we all had prior to the launch of Two-Pot was that there would be somewhere between 40 and 100 billion rands that would flow out of the retirement funds industry, and that would go to various sources, some of it being paying off debt, other distress expenses. But there will be some that will go into consumer expenditure. We could see some impact on the JSE with some shares potentially benefiting from the extra consumer spend, which is likely to be on kind of the South African incorporated shares in the economy. But so far, I think what we're seeing is the process is building slowly but surely. And I think it's safe to say that the biggest wave of withdrawal requests and inquiries probably still lies ahead.
Yes, indeed. I automatically think of the GEPF, the Government Employees Pension Fund. Members might be very, very different. In fact, are very different to 91 clients, for example. But anyway, I think the word is here is that this is still an evolving dynamic situation. And over the next few weeks, months, and even years, people will get an idea of the impact that it's had. Yaku, thank you very much for your time. Yaku Fantonda is Advisor Services Director at 91 in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.